Like Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Mitch Teich. This week, UWM Theater is presenting George Bernard Shaw's classic Major Barbara. The play is typical of Shaw in its subject matter. He tackles arms manufacturing, pacifism, women's rights, class, and the evils of poverty in a structure that resembles a drawing room comedy.
The 1905 play sets a pragmatic father against an idealistic daughter, a divide that generations have always recognized. Director and theater professor Rebecca Holderness sat down with Lake Effect's Bonnie North during rehearsal and explained why she chose this play.
I think we need to do this kind of work in general as part of the curriculum, but this play is so contemporary and very particular for this very particular moment in our history. And I think that his ability to debate and put these ideas out in a really entertaining way, but also in a very clear and precise way, and characters actually really talk to each other and really debate these ideas in a way that I think is a great model for us right now. We don't seem to debate ideas with the same sort of clarity.
Do you think that's something that is, as you say, it's a model for a way you can have a conversation about difficult things?
I think we hope that that's what the audience takes away from it. Not only are these ideas and the concepts in the play particularly present at this moment, but also just the way of talking about ideas and about debating ideas back and forth with a certain kind of lift and a certain kind of rigor. It's pleasurable and it's intelligent, it's funny, and it does involve listening to other people.
By the way, Mac, I am a classical scholar, not an arithmetical one. Is 3/5 more than half or less?
Well, more, of course.
I would have taken 250. How you can succeed in business when you are willing to pay all that money to a university don who is obviously not worth a junior clerk's wages. Well,
you are a shark of the first order, Euripides. So much the better for the firm.
Is the bargain closed, Dolly? Does your soul belong to him now?
No, the price is settled, that is all. The real tug of war is still to come. What about the moral question?
There is no moral question at all, Adolphus. You must simply sell weapons and cannons to those whose cause is right and just, and refuse them from criminals and foreigners.
No, well, none of that. You keep to the true faith of an armor, you don't come in here.
What on earth is the true faith of an armor?
To sell arms to all men who offer an honest price for them.
We probably should talk a little bit about the play and not assume that other people know the story. But he's taking on religion. He's taking on, you know, weapons manufacturing. He's taking on class. There's a lot of talk about poverty and how it's evil. There is almost nothing. Women's roles. There's almost nothing he's not touching on in this particular play.
I think that's true. And both, all of us here think it's actually his most complete play. When Shaw died in, I think, 1950, which seems impossible, but he was the most widely read author, socialist author in English in the world. So he was really very committed to his particular point of view. But in this play, he writes himself that he couldn't figure out who should win. And I think that that confusion between the military-industrial complex, capitalism, the role of salvation in the soul, the role of God, what women should do, what family means, and poverty at its core, all of those questions are still ones we're trying to balance and figure out what to do about.
The thing about Shaw, if you know anything about him, though, is that he was a dedicated bachelor and loner. He didn't have a whole lot of patience in his own life for family and for those things. He seemed to be, from everything I've read, rather impatient with it all.
Well, he's a pretty impatient person. I think that comes through the play.
Yep.
Certainly the character of Undershaft, who is the arms manufacturer, is the strongest, most complete voice for Shaw in the play. Though I think, like any play, all the characters speak for Shaw, for all his different and conflicting points of view. Maybe he just didn't want to be a family man.
Well, and he wasn't, although he did have long correspondences with various people.
It might be interesting, we quite deliberately took the show from an oral source. So we took the cut of the play from a radio version of the play, because it seemed particularly tight and clear. And I actually asked the students, this will be shocking, I'm sure, but I asked the students not to read all of the stage directions and all of the things that Shaw always puts in with his plays, so that they could really identify one-on-one with the issues in the play without worrying too much about what Shaw thought they meant. And so they
could... how are they finding that?
Oh, I think they think it's very exciting. This idea of sort of betting on the play came from my asking them to listen actively to the play and to come out on one side or another. So when we vote as the play goes on, in the same way that we're going to ask the audience to vote as the play goes on, we're really asking people to listen and to decide in the moment, what's the best way to handle this problem? What is the truth? Is there a truth?
Who's right?
Who's right? Or is there a right? Or is there a wrong? I mean, certainly there is even direct debate in the play about whether there is such a thing as right or wrong or good or evil. So it's quite interesting. I didn't want them to feel like it was an old play. I wanted them to feel like it was a new play. And a long time ago, I heard the then artistic director of the Comédie Française say in France that there was no reason to do a classical play unless it could shut down the theater. So I think we're certainly asking the audience to engage these ideas in such a way that we could have a riot in the theater.
And you're doing it not technically in the theater, right? You have moved it out because the theater building is still under construction, right, from the fire.
Exactly.
So where... Describe the setting and where you have the betting going on. How is the audience going to be engaging with that?
So I wanted to reinforce that this Shaw's not, or this particular play of Shaw's in any way, is not a comedy of manners as much as it is a debate. It's an active debate. Because the theater is still under reconstruction after the fire, we decided to move the play into a very large art gallery in the Peck School of the Arts, which allowed us to have a more intimate audience space, but also several other potentialities, several other rooms, a different kind of ceiling, a different kind of structure. So trying to engage that with this play, and also feeling quite strongly that it's not a drawing room comedy, but it is a kind of debate, we put it in a version of a boxing ring so that the audience is on all fours. It's an Art Nouveau boxing ring, so... and we engaged it as a sort of set of bouts between about different ideas. So
ideas like capitalism, right?
Capitalism, idealism, a certain kind of pragmatism, a sense that you have the right to game the system if you're not being served by the system, and also the idea that family or your own tribe or your own city should always come first. So those are the ideas that we feel like are debated in the play. So we set up a board and a way of voting. So the audience can vote as the play goes on, and we collect votes, hatch marks, and then we'll put a score up on the board at the end. It's a lot like people in the 19th century might have been betting on a fight. So it used to be when you bet on a fight or fisticuffs or dogfights or whatever, you would just hold up your money and whoever was taking the bets would come get your money. So it's actually an echo of that idea. In addition to that, invitation for the audience to participate with us. There's also a video component that looks at the images from the military-industrial complex, from women's rights marches, from other kinds of protests from 1906 to the present, which frames the play and will also be in one of the art galleries as well. And we really are trying to make it impossible for you to continue to think of it as a play that you can dismiss. I mean, it might look like Downton Abbey, but it's not.
As you were talking about these things, I was thinking about other plays of his that I've either read or seen. And so many of the things that... So many of the plays are humorous. He's so clever, he's so witty, but the subjects that he's being humorous about or poking at are incredibly serious. And I just the little bit of rehearsal that I caught, you can hear, even though he's having fun with the sparring between the characters and arguing with himself, like you said,
we're talking about very, very, very serious things that he thought about all his life and cared about passionately all his life.
And that's true. He's famous for walking through the Dublin slum that he had grown up near or been near. It's hard to argue with his ideas about poverty as a source of ill. I mean, he felt about it strongly, and he's incredibly articulate and passionate about it in a way that could have only been personal to him. But he was also in an England that was just coming out of the Industrial Revolution, and where there were no workers' rights in place, no social net in place. Thousands and millions of workers were flocking to any kind of industrial center where there were jobs, but then workers were also being thrown out at 45 because they didn't want to have health care for them. That sounds familiar. So there was a huge underclass being developed of people that were just being thrown away. And I think Shaw thought that that was just inexcusable and believed firmly, ultimately, in a basic wage for everyone.
But by 30 shillings a week, a sound house in a handsome street, and a permanent job. In 3 weeks, he will have a fancy waistcoat. In 3 months, a tall hat and a chapel sitting. And before the end of the year, he'll shake hands with the Duchess at a Primrose League meeting and join the Conservative Party.
And will he be the better for that?
You know he will! Don't be a hypocrite, Barbara! You will be better fed, better clothed, better housed, better behaved. And his children will be pounds heavier and bigger. That will be better than a cloth mattress in a Salvation shelter. Chopping firewood and eating bread and treacle and being forced to kneel down from time to time to thank heaven for it. Needful, I think you call it.
What do you think he would make of what's going on, both here and in the UK and Ireland right now? What do you think he'd be writing about, the same sort of things?
I think so. I think he would be dismayed at the lack of quality in debate. I think he writes characters who listen. He writes characters who change their mind and who can be persuaded by strong reasoning and are also passionate. I just think he would find it a style of debate or a style of questioning not equal to the importance of the question. That's how I think he would feel. And I think he would find the growing divide between the very wealthy and the poor extremely familiar. And I think he would, if he had been, you know, time traveled from then to now, he would be so disappointed and probably not very surprised that we were back at that place.
Here we are again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to say that it's a beautifully costumed show, and if you do have that predilection for Downton Abbey, we actually put the costumes between 1906 and 1920, so it is exactly that wonderful period of costuming. So it's not quite all the way to the 1920s, but any family will have generations of different clothing in the room, right? Grandma
True.
Doesn't wear the same clothes that her teenage grandchildren wear. So that fact allowed us to push a little bit on it. But then we're also looking at the evolution of women. And so you can see on the stage, you know, the evolution from this Edwardian idea about women to a more contemporary idea. And, you know, Major Barbara is a working woman. She's a woman who actually leaves her upper class and rejects a kind of upper middle class morality and lifestyle for something that's much grittier and much more active.
And she is given a load of nonsense about it too.
I mean,
she's taken to task for it.
Oh well, as women are still. And you know, I find that particular line really moving as a woman, as a parent, as a working parent, as a person with family who often wish I was somewhere in a middle-class living room with, you know, with it playing Schumann at the piano, right? They don't really understand why doing anything else is important. And so I'm quite sympathetic to her.
Yeah.
And it'll be a beautiful and completely unique show.
I'm looking forward to seeing who wins at the end. I wonder if it'll change every night.
I think it will change every night because the voting is a combination of how well you hear the play, but also how well that actor is delivering or how committed that actor is delivering at that moment and how you feel about those things and how this audience feels. The great thing about a four-sided audience is that you get to watch other people watch the play. So you'll also get to watch other people vote. So we've never gotten the same votes twice. I mean, we vote whenever the whole cast is here, we all vote, and it's always different, so that's interesting.
Rebecca, I want to thank you for taking time and thank the cast for me again, and break a leg.
Thank you. I can't wait to see you at the show.
Rebecca Holderness is a theater professor at UW-Milwaukee and director of Major Barbara. The show opens tomorrow night and runs through Sunday at the Arts Center Gallery, and you can find more at wuwm.com. Rebecca Holderness spoke with Bonnie North.